Welcome to the 64th episode of the Triple Takeover Toycast, a fortnightly podcast all about the toys, the whole toys, and nothing but the toys. My name is Sixo, but more on that later, as ever, I'm joined by my two, frankly, gorgeous co-hosts. First up, we've got Maz from Transformers Square One.
Yes to all of that. Hello.
Hello indeed. And then we've got Liam from Toybox Soapbox.
What ho?
What's your window cleaner calling you this week?
Still Liam.
All right, okay. Still Liam.
Still Liam, like
not
still
perpetually
Maz.
Moving Liam, right? Yeah. You're Gassy still Liam and you're still Maz.
He's okay. Gassy Liam.
There we go. Excellent. Well, I'm glad for the continuity factor at least. Tonight is all about hidden gems. Now, we've done this episode twice before, I want to say, or three times.
I don't think we've even done it twice. I think we've done it once.
We've done it once. There was only
Is it
one.
Only once?
Yeah,
because we only
did,
once.
We did
controversial
gems.
Opinions have done, done two or three of those.
Yeah, we've done three controversial opinions. We've done...
Right.
I think this is only the second hidden gems we've done.
No way. It just...
We
it
did something
always,
similar
Yeah,
recently.
we did. And it seemed like one of those formats when we first did it. I remember we said, this is going to be a recurring thing. We can come back to this. And it just feels like... How have we not done that already then? So, but it kind of tells you what stage of podcasting we're at now, doesn't it? We can't even remember the wood from the trees. Have we done this before?
Well, that was the last minisode too. We spent like, 10 minutes trying to recall what 1987 minisodes we'd done. And
yeah.
We forgot to the Monster Bots that we forgot we'd done those. We were pretty sure we'd only done three.
I think that's it. I think we kind of hit that stage where some topics, it feels like we should have done them by now.
Yes.
Maybe we just haven't. I don't know.
Titans Return.
Yeah. Well, we did that. Yeah. We did that. That's the lost episode.
Did we?
Yeah.
One of the lost episodes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess.
There with
I
the Omnibots, the many shades of blue streak. And
Those are minisodes that exist, Liam.
Yeah, those recordings exist. You can listen to those. Titans Return.
No.
Not so much.
Not so much.
Not so much. Much. Yeah.
Never.
We know it was good. We know it was a good
so
episode.
So good.
It was probably our best.
It was probably our best episode.
Probably our best ever. Yeah, I would say so. A hidden gem, if you will.
Ah.
There you go. It all syncs up. But yeah, so tonight is all about hidden gems. If you've not heard Hidden Gems 1, I guess, this is Hidden Gems Part 2, then it basically is very simple. We're going to talk about toys, which is our want. We're going to talk about some old toys. We're going to talk about some slightly less old toys. And the theme is... Transformers toys that people don't really talk about, but we think are really good and kind of deserve a bit of a mention.
Do you not find this really hard to define? Because each time we've done this, trying to pick toys for this, I found it really difficult because I just assume we know so much about Transformers now and we talk about them so often. You just assume that everybody knows about most toys and it's like...
It's getting harder. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
to
like...
Pick. Yeah.
Because every time you think of one, you're like, oh, people don't really talk about this. And you're like, oh, I saw a photo of it last week somewhere maybe. And then you,
yeah, that's true.
Time,
I didn't come up with my choices in the week leading up to this episode. These were just the ones that came second when we first did this episode. So I'm kind of, it's a bit of a cheat. Like I didn't have to think about my choices this episode, but I don't know what I would pick if we were doing this a third time. Like I'd really have to, because most things are, like you say, over-documented already.
Yeah.
You can't rock up and say, oh, here's a hidden gem, Energon landmine. Like, no.
I was thinking about it. I had to get my head out of the mindset of like, I don't want to, I can't find something that people don't know about. So it's just got to be basically, what are two great toys?
Yeah. <you know? laughs>
So should we just call it gems?
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
What toys do you like?
For me, I haven't stressed about it too much. As I recall, I couldn't recall what my backup choices were from last time, but I can recall what my premier choices that I actually chose were. And this was episode 42, by the way, in case
you had
Final
Tech RC for the modern one and for the vintage
G1 Slapdash.
Right, and Liam had Road Rocket and Super Megatron.
Yes,
yeah,
he did.
Yeah. Completely remember that. Thank you.
Wait. Didn't he do... No, we have done this twice because one of his other future choices was the Viper from the Combiner Wars Power Glide mold.
Yeah, you know, I think we have done it twice.
Is that not for some other topic that's just very similar and we just changed the name?
It could be.
We've done it twice. I'm confirming it now. We did it for episode 43 and episode 51.
So this is Hidden Gems Part 3.
This is Hidden Gems 3.
Right.
Oh, no.
Okay.
What did I choose for Hidden Gems Part 2?
Well, it's all right. We're only 5 minutes in, lads. I mean, no worries, you know.
It's been a good conversation. This just demonstrates the difficulty in what we do.
Yeah, the difficulty of looking up past episodes prior to pressing record.
That's where we find out that I picked the same toys.
Yeah, exactly.
Having a functional memory, yeah.
So what toys, now I'm going to put you on the spot, what toys did we choose for part one and part two then?
Part one I picked Hosehead.
Yes.
And the modern toy was,
Yes, it was that.
Oh, was it something not quite really modern, but in that sort of middle Vinyl Tech Alternators Classics era?
Could well have been. Could well have been.
I don't remember. What was it?
I've no idea.
No, you don't.
No, I've no idea. Don't ask me. I know for the second one, you chose Arms Micron Wheel Jack.
Yes.
That's what you chose for the second one. Yeah, yeah.
No
idea
what the vintage choice was in that episode, though.
Octane.
Yeah, it was Octane. Yeah.
That sounds like a good episode. Let's go back and listen.
Actually, a really good episode. It's all flooding back to me now. Yeah, I remember we had a really
good
discussion.
When we talked about why you collect G1,
yeah,
and how it's nothing to do with articulation and having the best version of a toy.
I love that discussion. I thought I really felt like we were onto something there. Like we really cracked a nut in terms of why G1 appeals to some people and why, but also kind of why some collectors just don't see the appeal at all in G1.
So part one was cracking the shell, part two was cracking the nut inside.
What's this?
This is just a fight between dogs
and robots.
This is
just we've cracked. That's it. Well, yeah. So I don't stress too much about is it a hidden gem as such or not. I have picked two toys tonight that I think, certainly one of them I think is lesser known. The other one,
it's picked Grandis and Fort Mac.
Right, exactly.
I'm looking at the cover to Hidden Gems, and I can see Viper, and I can see then you've both got group shots of toys, so I couldn't tell you what you picked.
I picked Hose Head for the first one.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
But I'm looking at that, and that just says Hidden Gems 1 with Viper. So
yeah, that's
so the second one must have been the one where I had Super Megatron.
Yeah, that's episode 43, and then you want to look at episode 51 as well. That's the cover there. You've got Super Megatron on the cover.
Anyway.
Yeah, right.
If you want more of us talking about stuff we don't remember, then go to patreon.com/triple takeover because there's loads of hours of us talking about stuff we thought we'd covered but haven't on all sorts of topics, whether it's IDW comics or Unicron trilogy or Batman or whatever Liam has found. Yeah, Tatman or Batman, yeah. Or if you want to vote on episode polls, you want to be in that amazing legendary shout out at the end of the episode, or join the Discord server where they're still talking about TF Nation 2023 in that channel. And we've got, I think Puma was talking in there today about how he's actually thinking of coming over for TF Nation because the buzz is still going a month later.
And the Mapes are trying to get people to guess who the guest was. What was it that they wanted to pay so much money?
Half a million for a 30-second recorded message to be played at TF.
Somewhere, Billy's just spat his tea out and going, "Stop, Dave! Stop! Stop!"
No one's guessed it yet.
No, but that is the kind of stuff you can get on our Patreon. So go to patreon.com/triple takeover. So much more content there. All this time you've been listening to our main episodes, you've probably got 75% of that in extra there, and that includes commissioned minisodes and our very hyper specialized miniseries. So check it out.
We've also got a sponsor for the evening, that is tfsource.com. You can check them out for your Transformers and third party needs, and we'll do a bit of a longer segment on them in the middle of the pod as ever.
And if for some reason you would like merch, we have merch, and you can find that at rebel.com/people/triple takeover/explore. And no, I did not rehearse that. Just knew it off by heart.
Well, you have done it about 40 times now.
Okay, so technically that counts as a rehearsal.
I was going to say, not to mention all the times that we've sat through the bloopers of
you've just described his life. About 40-odd attempts, rehearsals, the previous years he's been alive, and then this year is the year he gets it right.
Do you think?
Maybe.
This is Liam getting it right now?
This has been a good year, so maybe that's it.
It's true. He's been to the Ghostbusters Firehouse. He had a great TF Nation. He got a Fort Max. I mean, this could be the best year of his life.
Well, I suppose, to be fair, yeah. So maybe this is the Explore year.
And Liam, we're hitting up NEC Toy Fair this week as well?
Oh, yeah, we should be. I'm looking forward to that.
Hopefully. All
is
being
that
well.
Sunday?
That is, yes, mate. Yeah, that's
Sunday. Thank God. I bought tickets to go and watch ice hockey on Saturday. It didn't occur to me until you've just said it now. I was like, oh my God, what if those clashed?
He is living his best life, isn't he? Listen to this. It's incredible. Wow. Yep. I do often hear like what Liam's up to on a daily basis and think, that could be my life. I could be doing that. But I had a kid.
Seemed like a good idea at the time.
It really did. And then you sort of realise that all the things that you can't do.
Mm.
Hey ho.
Deep breath. Sigh. Onwards.
Yes, indeed. Right, well, should we get on with it then, lads? Hidden Gems?
Yeah. Yep.
Everyone got their choices ready?
Yep.
To say that I made mine as I was booting up the laptop and getting ready for this recording is not an understatement. I'm not going to lie. But I'm really happy with the two that I chose.
All right, tell us what they are.
Yeah, go.
Well, am I going first this time?
Because this time, yeah.
Normally it's Liam that goes
first. It's so fresh in your memory.
Yeah, Liam went first in episode the first time we did it. I went first the last time we did it.
Is that right?
First time. I don't know. Okay. I'm making it up, but you go first.
All right. I feel like normally it's Liam. I just didn't want anybody that's, you know, got a particular format in mind.
Do you think there's somebody out there who's a fan is sat there going,
exactly,
in the format, that's it, I'm out of this show.
That's it, yeah. Maybe they're, you know, going to have a slight panic attack about it. I don't know.
Literally unplayable, yeah.
We'll get angry email.
Maybe we will. Right, well, I'll go first then. That's fine. So I've picked something which is latter-day G1 for mine. Very, very latter-day. Like, as latter-day as it gets. It's from 1993, which is G1. Some people call this G1.5. And before I get to that, actually, I just want to mention this because this always comes up and I feel like this is worth mentioning, that when you hear G1.5, I've got a real thing about this, it's only 1993. It's not 1991. It's not 1992. It's 93.
I get it for 92 toys as well on comments. Rotostorm.
No, I absolutely do. Yeah, yeah. Oh, people say it in comments.
That's not what you meant. Okay.
But it came up as a fan term for 93 because it was...
Right, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Because it was UK and Europe, it was G1. Yes. And US, it was G2.
Yeah.
And you got kind of a halfway house packaging and all of that. And you got some toys then released in 94 in Europe, which were G2. The same toy was G1 in 93. So it's a weird one. But it's this lovely little yellow fella. It's G1 Fierce Whoop.
Nice.
Do either of you have this guy or handled him?
No.
Literally never touched it.
I have the green one whose name I can never remember.
Deathwing.
No.
Now, this is going to be interesting. Are you thinking of one of the Predators?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, because this happens. This is why I picked it as a hidden gem.
It's a Trakon or a Lightformer, that one,
isn't it? It's a Trakon, yeah. So the Trakons and Lightformers, this was in the kind of weird latter-day era of G1 where the Autobots and the Decepticons often had slightly different sub-names, even though they were part of the same group.
Stuff like Iron Fist and that.
Yeah. So Iron Fist and Deathwing were the Lightformers, and Kalkar. And this guy Fierce Whoop were the Trakons, the evil Trakons, and he's super cool. But I really like it because everyone gets it confused, and there's lots of jets that they get confused with.
They've all got that same shape. Like, he just looks like that guy, but I'm sure he's got the same head.
He looks like Clench as a plane. He looks like Clench as a plane.
It's Clench as a plane. Yeah, literally that. Literally that. He's got such a distinctive look. When you place him next to stuff like Clench, Skyquake, the Predators, just fits perfectly. Mm. It's like a real missing link of the era, honestly. And it's one. I posted a group shot of some of the European Decepticons ages ago, and he was in it. And loads of people commented going, who's the yellow jet? Because it was almost like people know Stalker, they know Skyquake. You know, they kind of recognize what the Predator jets are, but this guy just sort of, I don't know, there's something unique about him that just kind of ties it all together nicely.
Talon.
Yeah.
TF Wiki reliably informs me that it was Talon that I am talking about.
Well, I was going to say, was it, yeah, one of those guys. So the reason people get it confused is that there's four Predator jets, all of which are roughly the same size as this guy, because he's only little. He's only a tiny little wee fella. He's about the same size as a Predator jet.
His head's really similar as well, and the body shape is the same.
So similar. I mean, he could literally be one of that lineup, literally. But then you've also got the jets that came in RID and Machine Wars, you know, those flip changer jets that came from G2 that people confuse this with as well, because they confuse the Predator jets with those flip changer jets as well. So you've got those.
Cyber jets as well.
Exactly. Then you've got the G2 cyber jets. And people conflate all of these different jet molds into one thing. And they look at this guy and they're like, oh, it's, you know, one of those other ones. But he's just unique. He's just a single jet lad all on his own. There's no other jets to go with him or anything. And I just think he's super cool. He's bright yellow.
Are those arms pull-out arms? Because they look like they pull down. And do they clip back up again?
No, they don't, actually. Weirdly, they're molded statically, and then it's paint on there. Which is really unusual choice. What's unique about the transformation is that it's the old flip cone, flip nose cone thing. It's a bit stiff, so bear with me. I'm talking about the toy. Mm. And then it's a slide-down.
Family-friendly.
Slide-down thing there, and then the legs flip under. So it's just a little bit unique.
Yeah, I see.
So it slides. That's quite a cool little mechanism.
Yeah, it's got a little slider mechanism just underneath there. And it's a little bit unique in terms of how it makes the jet, but still super simple, but just very satisfying. It's got all the Andy Cousins hallmarks. You know, it's got the nice solid click, all the stuff we talked about in the Andy Cousins ep, bless him. It's got the nice solid click, the beautiful bright colors. It's got lovely light piping. It's got this really nice, gorgeous green cockpit on top as well, which is super cool. And I just love it. Absolutely love it. It's a super satisfying toy. I'm going to do the little slide again. Is a bit stiff, my copy, but there you go. And what's super cool is in robot mode, look, it's got little wheel feet.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, which look like a pair of slippers, almost like...
skates. He's on skates.
Yeah. They always look like Christmas elf shoes to me. I don't know.
That's it. Can't I see that.
Yeah. And then lots of lovely pink highlights on the front, painted there, and actually some molded pink plastic on the back, which is a really nice colour match. And
he sounds like YouTube 6.0 right now, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He sounds like his YouTube self. You know he's just recorded a video and finished it and put it live today.
I'm waiting for an advert for NordVPN or something to kick in, you know.
Well, funny you should mention that, Liam, because if you do have security concerns... No, I'm not going to do that. But no, and check out these stickers on the back. Look at that.
Brilliant. That's cool.
With a little kind of sword thing going
on. It's strange that the toys from this era, like this group, when you look at those stickers, they look cool, but they don't look like Transformers stickers. And I don't mean that in like a negative way. When you look at them, they look so different to anything that's come before. It's not like mechanical detail or that the typical sort of stripes or, you know, that sort of detail.
100%. They look like they were toys from a different toy line and they got ported over and kept the stickers from whatever else it was that they came from.
You know, like when you see a KO of a G1 Transformer, they've got like new stickers and it's like that kind of look. And you're like, oh,
well, Battlecrap.
Battlecrap, yeah.
If you've not heard our Duocons minisode, I picked up a KO Battlecrap in that, and it's got this sort of weird snake emblem decal on the bonnet, and it's like nothing I've ever seen. But that's exactly that, is just what you just described. It's KO Transformers.
100% agree with that.
Yeah. It does look like that, but it's super nice.
Does he not come with like another part, like a platform thing, the weapons platform?
He does. I'm glad you asked. So it's this.
Oh, that's brilliant.
It's basically on a big stick.
It's monopod.
Yeah. It's like on a lollipop almost.
Look at those colours. Yes, please.
It's really cool.
So these are very similar to what like the Predators came with as well, aren't they? When they came with these big sort of guns and...
Well, the smaller Predators only came with the little GPS guns that fit in their hands. They only came with the little handheld missile launchers. But the Predator jets themselves could slot onto Skyquake. Definitely don't do it because Skyquake will explode if you do that.
Skybreak.
He'll skybreak. In theory, it can be done. And then you can look through the scope of Skyquake and see, what's his name? It's going to escape me now.
Hyperdrive.
Thank you very much. I'm so glad you remembered that. I was preparing for angry emails. These have got kind of a similar gimmick. So firstly, it's got this little thing on the back here that if you do that little...
It's like a dial. That.
Yeah, and you can see the guns going. Look.
I can hear it in the inside of my brain, scratching the inside of my skull.
You're right.
Imagine many parents going, "Don't touch that dial."
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Oh. Yeah.
So the guns kind of go in like little repeat motion when you do that, and it's hard to explain. But basically, there's a scope.
I actually didn't pay any attention to that. Could you do it one more time? I actually would like to see do that thing. Okay, that's really cool.
That's cool. Yeah.
Super fast. That's wicked.
It's like a little jackhammer. And then you basically look through the scope at the back, and it's hard to explain without looking at it, but there's like these two little faux like lasers in the scope that go da-da-da-da like that, like he's shooting. So you're supposed to like look through it at one of the Autobots and pretend that you're actually shooting them, and it sort of brings up like a little like a kaleidoscope almost. It's like a little laser. Gotcha. In reality, it's a bit crap. It's not the best gimmick, but it's fun and it's different. So
it's not quite a Viewmaster.
No, it's definitely not. But the idea is that he can clip his little hands. He's got little nubs, pegs on the back of this thing on the platform, so you can raise his arms and clip him. So he's sort of stood with it like that, and it does look pretty cool actually. And then it folds up and clips onto the back of the jet mode as well.
Okay, so it does have a vehicle mode.
Oh yeah, it does.
Oh, just like Iron Fist does when it sort of clips onto the back of the Jeep.
Yeah. I'll fold him up quickly and show you because it's super quick to do. But I mean, it's not the most aerodynamic. That's the thing. So it does look kind of silly. when it's on there. But, you know, it's all good fun. And it's from that era of just absolute absurdity anyway. So there you go.
Oh, that's terrific. It does look a bit like a plane truck.
Yeah, it literally is. It's like a massive plane, and then that bit folds underneath. That is like a massive plane with this sort of, I don't know, half a thing, half a battle platform just hanging off the back of him.
I do so, like that. That looks fun.
It's pretty cool, isn't it? All in all, brilliant toy, honestly. I think it qualifies as a hidden gem because it's one from that era of, like, not. I don't know many people that own it, and the people that I do know that own
it. It's not easy to find. It's a tough toy to find.
It is, yeah. I really lucked out with it. Just kind of stumbled across it. I think I got mine from maybe Italy or somewhere. Yeah. I'm trying to remember.
I think it had an Italian box.
I think it did. Yeah. But yeah, just got super lucky with it. And I still haven't put the stickers on mine. The stickers as well, and I've got to do it. But it's just one of those where I almost can't bring myself to because I have this thing about when there's no Toy Hacks equivalent, you don't want to F it up. Do you know what
Life's
I mean?
Too so, short, man. Yeah. Life's too short.
Just got to do it.
You just have to do it, yeah.
Yeah, I will do it.
Embrace the hobby. Yeah.
There you go. But yeah, that's my hidden gem, Fierce Whoop.
Excellent choice.
Fantastic choice.
Thank you very much. Who wants to follow that then?
Okay, I have picked the toy I thought I was going to pick in episode, the first version of this, and then we did a second one and I didn't pick it then either. I can't remember what I picked. Octane, that's it. No, this time I have picked Windsweeper.
Do you know, no word of a lie, no word of a lie, I nearly picked him today. I looked him in the cabinet. I did.
I like Windsweeper. He is a Trigger Con from 1988. He's very small. I mean, he's only just taller than G1 Bumblebee in robot mode.
Yeah.
It's a very, very simple transformation, like the Trigger Bots and the Trigger Cons, whether you've owned Backstreet or Dogfight or Override or those kind of guys. Literally pull out the legs, fold up the nose cone on the jet. Actually do that before you pull out the legs. And then fold down the back of the plane. And it's a robot with big arms and molded wings. So the wings don't adjust. They're just molded in. And the gimmick here is that you press a little button, which is spring-loaded on each arm, and two really big chrome cannons flip out.
Massive. So massive that he can't point them down at the floor, can he?
No, that's correct. Mine are sort of pointed forward. And this is exactly the kind of toy I wanted to buy, totally unused. I wouldn't have bought a used one. To this day, I'd probably still not have one if I didn't come across this. Because I just wanted to know, what would it be like to own this back in the day and to experience it completely fresh, completely perfect, as it was meant to be experienced. So that means getting one with perfect chrome. Because all across these Trigger Cons and Trigger Bots, the biggest wear point is chrome. Whether it's Override, Backstreet, or Windsweeper, it's always the chrome. And even this perfect one is starting to look a little bit like, just don't play with me too much. Same with Override. So they're very, very small, almost no articulation, but they have all the molding and detailing you'd expect of a G1 toy from this era. So it's not flat surfaces or anything like that. You've got lots of little molded vents in the arm. You've got stripes molded in. Actually, the chrome guns have a lot of molding on them. Lots of little bits of etched detail. His head sculpt is not the greatest. He looks like he has a really big nose.
He does.
But the colors are amazing. Like the helmet on him is really good. The helmet and the crest.
Orange face.
Yeah, really, really orange face. And his colors are basically flywheels. So he's got like a very maroon central part of the plane and body. And then he's got these sort of sandy brown arms and legs. And that's his entire color scheme. Brought completely to life by what is an excellent sticker sheet. Like, the stickers on him are super, super nice.
That chest one is wonderful.
It's really, really lovely. It's like something off a Rippersnapper or a Blot or something from that era, or a Seacon. And the wing stickers are super nice too. And then he's got them on the side of his legs as well. They're actually loads of stickers on him now that I think about it. I remember he had a small sticker sheet, but he had a bunch of factory ones too. The ones on his knees are great as well. It's all totally unnecessary detail, which is actually essential.
Because it's down the side of his legs as well, aren't there, stickers?
They are. Awkward. And like most G1, you just need to be really careful when transforming them. Because if you have the legs extended and you move the arms up and down, you run the risk of scraping those stickers with the arms, which are really flush against the body. And I think that's what I've done on him the last time I handled him. So I was checking it out this time at the start of this episode and was grumbling about sodding G1 and its stickers because I noticed I'd done that. But the legs need to be compressed before you do that. But I had forgotten how cool the flip-out guns are with the little buttons. I'd totally forgotten how cool those little buttons are on his arm. And there's no other way to display them. I mean, I know you can fold the guns in, and I know you can fold them in for a sleeker jet mode, but who's going to do that? You are absolutely going to have these massive chrome guns, which make up 25% of his mass completely flipped out at all times.
I mean, I actually think I do have all the guns flipped in on mine.
For space, or just because you want to preserve the chrome or something
for
like that?
Space, yeah, for space, probably for space. Yeah.
I think the reason I have them flipped out is because I think it's better to have things like this in a non-compressed spring.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So I just think it might last a bit better that way, but I've got no way of proving that. This is a toy I picked up a little while ago, a couple of years ago, I think, from someone who I've mentioned on the episodes before. Him and his brother used to go to a retail shop which had loads of damaged and vandalized Transformers. Maybe they'd been ripped off the cards, or one element of the toy had been ripped off the card and this was what was left, or the top of the card was just ripped off and the bottom half was left with an attached bubble. And this is where Windsweeper came from. So completely mint. I want to get my Triggercons and Triggerbots, which were 1988 US or UK release. So I'm trying to not get the Chinese 90s ones because they have the rub signs. These ones which come on the US cards don't have rub signs.
This is interesting. Now, I was going to ask you if you knew this. Do all of the Triggerbots and Triggercons come with rub signs, the Chinese releases? I know Backstreet does.
That's the one I've seen the most. It's Backstreet. Yeah. I actually haven't seen a Windsweeper on a Chinese card, so I can't tell you for sure. But Backstreet, definitely the difference is the 88 one, where obviously rub signs were phased out in the US. But for those Chinese releases, they were trying to recreate that G1 feel. So everything that came out in that period had a rub sign.
And they're English language cards, aren't they? Weirdly,
with just
as well,
the Chinese stickers in the corner.
Yeah.
So yeah, Windsweeper, very, very easy to transform. Actually looks really good in jet mode, like a really nicely crafted jet with really nice colors. Probably looks really superb next to your flywheels. I think they'd look really, really classy next to each other. The interesting thing is, though, it's not consistent across the two factions. So you've got Dogfight and Backstreet and Override on the Autobot side. Dogfight doesn't have chrome. And then you've got Crankcase, this guy, and Ruckus on the Decepticon side.
Mm-hmm.
And Windsweeper is the only one with the chrome. So
the take away the two planes, you've got the Decepticons. Well, you've got the Autobots, which have got spring-loaded guns that go with the push of a button.
Yep.
And the two Decepticons and Dogfight, the Autobot, have got gear-loaded weapons instead. It's a completely different mechanism.
So I think the common belief is that Windsweeper was supposed to be part of the Autobot gang.
Yeah.
And I think I could completely see that.
I absolutely am convinced that this is the case. And actually, funnily enough, I got into this. I wrote an article about this, or mentioned it in an article, literally just the other week. And then I'm going to send you something. Check this out, because it's super cool to see. I've just dropped two images into our chat, and it's on Twitter. This was sent to me by @LeoKieran. So thank you very much, Leo, for sending these. And he basically just did a
Dogfight in Windsweeper colors.
Yeah,
and
a Digivesh. Yeah, he just swapped the colors on the artwork.
When you were just talking about this, and I was about to say, like, I was just imagining Backstreet, but you know, like in a Decepticon colors, and how nice that would look, like
in Ruckus
like
colors.
Stunticon.
Yeah. But doesn't it work well? Like,
super well.
It's funny because you look at them, and you could almost believe that that actually, you know, that was how it was meant to be, and that the Windsweeper mold was going to be in blue with Autobot decals. And the Dogfight mold in the kind of tan color of Windsweeper.
Cool, blimey, that box art does some heavy lifting, doesn't it, on some of these toys?
Oh man, I really love the well, it's for the chrome weaponed ones, obviously, because it's the same on Backstreet and everything. But the kind of like the way that they've drawn the guns flipping out, with that kind of gradation, I think it looks super cool. Really etched in my mind.
Beautiful box art. Really, really lovely toy, Windsweeper. I have Crankcase as well, and I really like it, but I think this is a lot nicer. Override is also nice. So this is like a part of 1988 I hadn't really explored ever, but with getting into this era of Transformers, it is the same rule that applies to almost all of this era of G1. You don't buy it for articulation. You don't buy it for scale. You don't buy it because it's the best version of a character. You buy it to appreciate something that was designed for the 80s, which is embellished with things like molding, chrome and stickers, and that is what really makes them pop. And 9 times out of 10 you find this toy unsealed, it's suffering in all those departments: paint chipped, chrome worn, and I mean heavily chrome worn, and the stickers are ruined. But when you get it absolutely perfect, no looseness, and you've just finished stickering it, and you look at it as an item from the 80s, a Transformers toy that was designed to fit in with all of 1988's gems, it really, really sings. And I have him front and center on my 1988 shelf because he's beautiful to look at with his gleaming chrome and those colors. And he's just another different guy from 1988, which already makes him a winner.
Yeah, I completely agree.
It's a gorgeous toy. It's one I really want to get. I've always wanted to get it because I've always been quite fond of it, because even when I saw it as a kid, it had like a lot of the other ones look like modern Transformers at the time, whereas that one just has a bit more of a classic look to it. There's just something about it that feels quite in step with the older Decepticons.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Mm. Absolutely. So it's got a lot of the kind of classic hallmarks of that era of Transformers, like the kind of slide down legs. Yeah. You know, the way the cockpit folds backwards on itself, that kind of stuff. I think of the three, you know, because the other two are Autobots, of course, of the three toys with flip-out chrome weapons, this is definitely my favorite.
Yeah, so, and I'm just looking at how much paint is on it, and like the painted canopy, and the stickers on both sides of the wings. He's got stickers on the top of the wings and the bottom of the wings, and he's got the double Decepticon stickers on the inside of the wings. That's a lot of embellishment and a lot of ornamentation on what is a really tiny, cheap toy. And it does not feel cheap at all.
100%. No, I think it's a lovely thing. So I've just forwarded you two more pictures. There you go. It turns out Leo actually sent me pictures of the toys as well.
Oh, cool.
How lovely would that be to see happen? Like, if ever, this is the stuff I dream about, you know, where like if Hasbro could just remake these molds or whatever and just put them out in these like weird color schemes.
Oh, that's delightful.
Yeah.
But just it imagine. Does show how great that Windsweeper mold is, that a completely different color scheme, it still looks like a must-have toy.
Yeah. I would love to see it done in blue. Absolutely. Dogfight blue. I would love to see that. And you know, the Dogfight mold in those colors looks like a natural too.
I remember finding a Windsweeper in a junk shop years ago, and it looked like a child had eaten the guns. Because it had that many bite marks in it. It was on the wings.
The chrome is... Yeah. It's very often knackered. I think it's what Maz said. Trying to find a mint copy of this toy is nigh on impossible, honestly. And just occasionally you luck out and you find one in like a bin of toys, and you pull it out and it's like, oh, somehow this is completely untouched.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
I've got to admit, with toys as simple as this, I do struggle with how careful I have to handle it to maintain it being mint, 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 because I really feel like toys like this, which have an inherent play value in how simple they are, should be pick up and play nonchalantly. They should just be, you shouldn't even have to look at it to transform it. It should be that fun to engage with. But because it's G1 and because it's got chrome and stickers that all add to how glorious he looks, you can't treat it that way. And when I come onto my choice for a modern toy, it is the complete opposite. So it's interesting how that lines up. But that is definitely a thing with these toys.
Yeah, I guess you've got to factor in as well that this is not quite, but nearly 35 to 40 years old, isn't it? So it's, you know, and all of these things, you can feel it with Fierce Whoop as well. You know, I know saying is a bit stiff and everything, but, you know, it is 30 years old now, that toy. And it's going to happen, you know, that they don't feel the same. That's the simple thing.
It is funny how when you get like a vintage toy, like, and it's still sealed, and you're like, oh, it's factory fresh, and you sort of forget that it is 35, 40 years. Like, no matter what it, whether it's still in a package, it's still been sat for 35, 40 years.
100%. How factory fresh do you feel at 30?
But that's what I mean. In your head, you're like, you still connect as if it's just rolled off the assembly line, like ten minutes ago.
There are definitely sealed G1 toys out there that are completely done in already. Yeah. They're just worn. In the box. It's pre-worn. But hey-ho, so it goes.
What you got for us, Liam?
I've just remembered, I think in the previous episode, I think I picked Micromaster Overload.
Yes, you did.
And
that's why I bought it.
Yes.
Yes.
Because of you.
So at the time, I had another toy on my desk because I couldn't pick between them.
You picked it again.
But this time I've gone with G1 Quick Mix, which was
my choice. I'm not even kidding when I say this. This is on the same shelf for me as Windsweeper. Yeah. And I looked at both of these and I literally was like, Windsweeper, can I do that? Maybe Quick Mix. That's a really good toy. And then I went to the next
cabinet. They're all the same ilk of brilliant forgotten toys that haven't really had good enough modern versions.
100%.
Yeah, absolutely. And It's just something about him. I think he does fit into that category of toys people forget about a bit because there are so many other colourful
Absolutely.
Toys. He's so good.
Yeah, and he's unique as well. Like the way his transformation comes together, like with the way the mixing barrel slide like flips down into the chest and the head pops out on a little spring-loaded mechanism.
And the clipping, the little clip.
Yeah. Very,
and you
very
can see it
memorable.
Right in the middle, like almost like a little collar.
Yes. I love how that mixing cylinder is basically his entire torso. How cool is that?
Yeah.
But obviously with Mixmaster and other toys, they tend to put it on the back, don't they? Yep. It tends to be like hide it out of the way, but here it just snaps into place to become the torso. And it's a really unique way of doing it, but he's just kind of got this like builder vibe, like we were saying just then about the clip. You can see it in the chest and it just feels quite haphazard, but deliberately so. So it's like you're supposed to be like that. But the way he transforms, like the legs fold down, and you're like, that's relatively normal. But even the way the arms fold out to the side,
yes,
it all feels quite different to, you know.
Or the way that the front of the cab, the grill kind of flips up so that it can kind of make space for his legs. It's really unusual.
It's a really interesting looking toy, and he doesn't get enough love. And of course, he comes with two Target Masters.
Yes.
One of whom is called Boomer.
He is. And the other one's called Ricochet, which is quite ironic. You've got a Ricochet Target Master before you later get Ricochet, who comes with Target Masters.
It's true.
That's true. Wow.
Yeah. I do like that now, sort of all these years later, the name Boomer has been a bit more co-opted, hasn't it? It's something else entirely.
You have to think,
Boomer.
When they were picking that and designing this toy, they were probably like, oh, we'll say Boomer because he's a gun. It's going to sound dead cool.
Yeah.
And you're like, 20 years later, oh my gosh. Or 30 years later, I suppose.
30 years, indeed. Yeah, no, he's a great toy, great choice.
Love the wheels. Just the wheels are super cool on the vehicle.
Yeah, and again, like Windsweeper as well, he's got a yellow, you know, the windows are all yellow.
Yes.
Just this kind of look from that era, isn't it? Like you're saying, there's definitely this era of toys have a certain look to them.
I think what gets me with this one, and I think looks really nice, is the stickers as well, because he's got these green stickers on his sort of shins, I guess, and but also the barrel, the sticker there, does a lot of heavy lifting on this toy because it's predominantly kind of off-white and red, and then it's and a bit of yellow, and then it's just that like weird green that's on there. Yeah. It's just super nice.
But also, like the stickers on this, they're quite small. You know, they don't overdo it. It's not like a lot of toys where you get big sections covered up by stickers. Like you look at the robot mode and there's small ones on the shoulders and the chest, and it's just like little details that are picked out.
Mm-hmm. I remembered it incorrectly, actually. I thought the mixing barrel was really smooth, but it's actually segmented and it's got really nice molding details. So it looks robotic. Yeah, he's got abs. He's taller than I remember as well. Like he's not a small toy.
No.
He's like, probably like a modern deluxe almost now. But he's got like the way the barrel on this side as well, it's not just like you're saying, it's not a smooth round barrel. He's got like a little flat area and stuff. It's designed to look like a chest.
And a super head sculpt.
Yes, it's a cool head sculpt. And for me, I think that looks very unlike anything else at the time. Like when you look at it up close, it's almost like an eagle or something. I don't know what it is. It's quite pointy, you know, in his face. It's a really different face sculpt. And the way the paint goes over what looks like the eyes and possibly the mouth at the same time. Hmm. Maybe you can see that.
I just think it's one of those toys where if you collect toys of this era and you've never owned Quick Mix and you buy it, you just think, something fresh. Something a little bit different to everything else.
The thing is, you can see why people skip over him, not for anything for the toy, because you just look at him and you go, it's like a cement mixing truck. And then there are many exciting other toys. But then,
isn't it just
big
MicroMaster?
Well, yeah. But once you actually stop and look at him, you go, wow, this toy is so unique and different to so many others. Like all of those double Target Masters are great. But then you come to this one, like, there's something about this that just, it feels different. There's a different vibe. Like you could almost assume the rest are designed by one person and this toy was designed by someone totally different.
Well, I think as well, the fact that the Decepticons from this set get such high profile, they're really talked about, aren't they? They've been in comics, they're like really highly thought of. You know, Spinister has sort of come into his own now as like a, you know, totally new thing. Mm. Needle Nose has just got a new toy. Quake, you know, lots of people know him. And then you've got the three Autobots that nobody really gives a stuff about. They really don't get a lot of rep at all. I mean, this is the only Quick Mix toy. There are other toys called Quick Mix. There's one from Cybertron.
It's become quite a common recurring name, hasn't it?
Little MicroMaster as well. Mm. But this is the only one of this character, essentially, I think, realistically. And I haven't heard anybody going, when are we going to get a new Quick Mix and all of that?
Oh, I have had a bunch of that recently with those 1988 vehicle mode group shots I've posted. Okay. Because it's Landfill and Quick Mix that don't have the mod. Because Scoop got a modern toy and it was really loved. Like it was, some people even called it like a little masterpiece Scoop, effectively. Like it couldn't be better than it is as a representation of a modern Scoop. Mm. So for Quick Mix and Landfill to get that treatment would make me really happy.
They are like almost the untouched section of Transformers for generations now, because you've had Scoop, you had a Quake, but it was from Titans Returns where it was just a hardhead, wasn't it?
Yeah,
and I believe
it was great.
There were rumors there might be a new one coming, but then the other ones haven't really featured. But other than Spinister, we've had Spinister.
Yep.
Did we get one of the others? One of the other Decepticons?
Needle Nose,
the
yeah, we've got a Needle Nose.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course, I've just got him out over there. But the Double Target Masters, I remember them at the time, but like they say, it was always the Decepticon ones that were more exciting. But it's such an interesting gimmick and way to evolve Target Masters, because you never think of Target Masters evolving. You just think Little Robot turns to a gun. But when you actually look back at the time, you're like, these are different, completely different to the first couple of years of Target Masters. These
more,
are
more so than the Headmasters, I have big memories of these toys as a kid. Mm. I had quite a few of these, actually, this set, randomly. I didn't have all of them, but I definitely had Landfill.
Same, I had Landfill. Yeah. Still have my childhood one.
Yeah, I think I had all three of the Autobots, I'm wondering. Or because if not, Quick Mix is probably less familiar for me, but if I didn't have him, certainly someone I knew did, because I remember playing with him as a kid. But I just remember the guns just being like, what are these? You know, because they were just so different.
Loads of options too. Stack them and have them hold in one hand, or double wheel them, or have them attached to the side of the truck, or double attached to the side. There was lots of configuration options with these things.
Yeah.
It's interesting because they channeled this when they brought back the, they weren't Micromasters, were they? What they called Battle Masters or something like that. Or, do you remember in Siege? And they had that thing where they could combine, and it was very much like the Double Target Masters could do, with one basically just pegs onto the top of the other. But they're just fun little robots. And as a kid, like, that's what you want, the small little minifigures, don't you? Like this.
Yeah.
These feel even better sized to go with Transformers because they're smaller. They are more that sort of almost human-sized little
robots. Very much so. They looked more like humans to me. I remember even as a kid thinking these
wearing
look like
suits.
You look like humans in suits, exactly.
They've got that more organic body shape that sort of goes inwards, whereas the other ones are much more boxy-looking robots, aren't they?
Yeah.
But kind of cruel because they looked organic, but then they had like a massive peg protruding from their chest.
From their legs. Legs. Some of them it's their legs, isn't it? Some of them it is their chest. You're right. It's so weird. But I remember as well, never ever being able to remember whose bloody Target Masters was whose. You know, like
really
just
looking.
Oh man. Yeah. There's like one blue one and one yellow one on every toy almost. And it's like, whose is this then? But I like that some of them are double barreled, some of them are not.
That's right.
It's cool.
But they also got loads of paint, the little miniature Target Masters. Compared to the regular size ones, the older ones, these ones are covered in paint, I suppose, because they were much simpler. They just had more of a budget. But they've just got loads of paint details picking stuff out. But yeah, he's a great figure, but he's also got like an interesting butterfly joints, you know, just from the way he transforms. So you can pivot the arms inwards. I always like that about old Transformers. It's how you can fudge articulation, you know, you can fake it. There's a thing I always loved as a kid, like, what could you do that you're not supposed to, but you can just get cool poses out of it?
Because he's got really he's got quite weird arms, because it like the top bit where the joint is that his elbow or his shoulder?
Yeah, that's it. It's kind of like, left to your own imagination, isn't it?
it's not really clear, is it? Like, I would have said maybe elbow, because there's a bit above that could be the shoulder.
And there's no like molding to suggest there is an elbow otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. But it could be either. Who's to say? Yeah. So, but at least this guy can hold the guns in his hands. Yeah. And Landfill can as well. But Scoop, they just peg in on the sides.
Yeah, that was weird. Yeah.
It's a bit of a weird one. Scoop, for me, is definitely, like, I'm going to get some hate for this because it is a good toy. But Scoop is the weakest in my mind for a couple of reasons. Firstly, he can't really look over like his chest very easily. Like it's a hard one to kind of see his face. Secondly, he can't hold his guns. They clip in on the sides. And thirdly, you can't put both the guns on Scoop's, the top of his vehicle mode, because there isn't enough space to fill both the holes. I sound like Billy from TFN, but there isn't space to fill both the holes on the back of Scoop. You know, you can't fit both the guns in at once. Whereas Quick Mix, I really like the fact that you can put them in on the sides of the mixing barrel, and it looks super cool.
He also has something really unique that I've never seen on another Transformer, and it's, if you look behind his legs, where, you know, where the cab flips round, there are two clear plastic hooks, and as it rotates, they sort of just clip onto just two little pegs on the back of his legs.
Little hooks
dangling underneath, but it's a really interesting, because normally that stuff's integrated in, you know, already molded. It would be molded into the inside of the leg or something, not two just separate pieces.
It's kind of the same with the clip on his neck, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
With the barrel coming up and clipping
into
his neck.
Yeah.
It's like he had a specific set of design choices made for him that haven't been made for other similar toys.
No, you can always feel like it's almost like a test design for other stuff. Like they thought, well, let's try this on this and see how that works. And yeah, it's just a very unique
transformation.
Yeah. Everything clicks, everything. Like even the arms, where they clip around, it's everything snaps into place both ways.
Just coming back to the head sculpt a sec. Is that an attempt at some sort of hard hat, do you think, on top of his head?
It's hard to tell. It's really hard to make out.
I'm just looking at a very close-up picture of the head.
I would say yes. I think yes.
There's something there, isn't there? It's not just me.
Yeah. No.
There's definitely like a bit of a builder theme going on.
I think so, yeah.
Construction site sort of look to him.
I mean, if you painted it yellow, it'd be beyond doubt, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, but even in red, I don't know, it just kind of rings true for me. And it feels like, you know, before Takara got in on the act with all their little hats and firemen's hats and things on their Micromasters and stuff.
I love this toy in vehicle mode as well, just because he's got the painted headlights. Like, didn't need to go that far. He's got a license plate molded in and even like a little badge on
the
grill.
Shiny chrome headlights.
Yeah, it looks like a toy truck. It could pass as a toy truck that does nothing else. Even the round riveted panel that's on the mixing cylinder just on the side is super cool. Something to look at wherever you sort of cast your eyes. Very, very, very nice toy.
And very confusing stickers. There's little stripes on the side of the cab. I remember when I was putting them on, I was asking you quite a while ago where they go, and I remember you saying you weren't sure either. And like every single photo on the internet is different. Even like the stock imagery is different on the box and in different places.
I didn't sticker this one myself, so I just happened to get a really nice one which I didn't want to mess with, so I don't know. Actually, it's also quite funny how his copyright is just sticking right up from above his feet in robot modes.
It's like he's got one of those little signs saying something controversial, prove me wrong, on his own legs. stood in his own little soapbox.
Yeah, he looks like he stood behind something. That's true.
Yeah.
Like a little podium.
I also have a very visceral memory of the way the head pops up on this guy as well. The way you've got to kind of slide it a little bit and then it springs up.
Hmm. Yeah, sort of as you pull it up, it pops up.
Yeah, super nice. Good choice, man. Good choice.
Fantastic toy.
Yeah. Well, good choices all round, I think, on the vintage side. So three wicked G1 toys. So what we had, G1 Fierce Whoop, G1, what did you pick again, Maz?
Windsweeper.
Windsweeper, thank you. God, that just shows you how good my memory is these days. And Quick Mix as well. I'll love all three of those.
How many of our toys from vintage been from 88?
Yeah,
a lot.
Nose Head, Slapdash, Windsweeper, Quick Mix. It's a lot of 88. I don't think, was Overload 89?
89, yeah.
But a lot of 88 in our choices.
We talk about toys from those eras more, I think, though. We all seem to lean toward that particular later G1 portion.
Yeah.
I think in terms of hidden gems as well, the earlier toys are talked about so much, aren't
they? Cartoon characters too.
Yeah, exactly. Can
you imagine if one of us had gone G1 Optimus Prime? What toy is that?
I did briefly look at like the deluxe Insecticons, for example, because I think those are true hidden gems. But even then, they're talked about more nowadays because of the new toys and things like that. You know, but hey ho, good list.
The Transformers will return after these messages.
Right, well, it's that time for the bit of the pod where we talk about our sponsor, and that is tfsource.com, where you can check out for all your Transformers and third-party needs. And as ever, we're taking a look at what they've got up for pre-order or in stock right now on their website. Lots of toys, as you might imagine, lots of Transformers. I think, though, I'm right in saying, aren't I, gentlemen, that our attention is currently going to a lot of the new Legacy United stuff that's just been unveiled.
Yeah, it's all very fresh in the memory, isn't it?
It is
fresh
indeed.
In the feeds.
Yeah.
Fresh in the feeds.
Quite a bit of excitement about it, isn't there?
Yeah, I feel like I was just talking about it 30 seconds ago.
Right, yeah. Well, maybe you were.
Is that nostalgia or deja vu? Or...
Something like that. Something like that. Liam, you pretty excited about a lot of this?
I like it because it's crazy. It's not really for me because it's kind of moving out of my era of stuff, but I'm happy they've done it because it's nice to see such just random stuff, you know?
Yeah. Well, that was the thing. They unveiled, I think it was 10 new toys on the stream.
No G1?
They've just done no G1. Yeah, nothing that technically counts as G1 in any sense. Other than, like, there are people that I've seen that are like, well, Beast Wars is actually G1 in its way. And it's like, no, but, you know, being serious about it, there's nothing that's like straight up cold serve G1, as it were. So
I think they've given a lot of people what they've been asking for a while. You know, a lot of people have been saying no more G1. They want to see something different. And they've got it. And I'm interested to see how it sustains, because Generations has been so built around redoing G1, and that kind of collector base is like, where does it go now? What is there enough of a collector base there to keep it going? Obviously there must be. So
yeah, well, we could do a whole discussion on that at some point, couldn't we? That'd be interesting. But for tonight, let's pick a toy that we're going to talk about, and I think we've all decided on
Catbird.
I like it more now. Catbird.
All alone in the world is a little catbird.
catbird.
There we go. It's Tiger Hawk.
He doesn't know what we're talking about, does he?
He has no idea.
Have you never watched Cat
rings,
Dog?
Rings a bell. Yeah. I know Cat Dog. Is that what you were joking about?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it since I was a child, I don't think.
Wow.
Which is many years ago. Hence my memory.
That's the next crossover, Transformers and right, Cat Dog.
Exactly. Legacy Cat Dog.
Yeah.
Well, no, this is Catbird.
Would buy
Tiger Hawk?
Oh, that's a strong probably not from me. But it doesn't mean there's not things about it I don't like. Looking at the robot mode, and I love the head sculpt, and I know the original Tiger Hawk was a very beloved head sculpt, even though it was very hard to see because it was all basically white plastic. This is way better. I love the asymmetric head sculpt. I love the claws on the shoulder. That's really nice. I think, actually, weirdly to say, and for modern toys, I think his forearms and his hands have been really well molded. They actually look really good on this toy.
Mm.
And while I don't like the hollowness of the purple wing sections, the feathers are cool, colors are great. And you know what? The Fusor mode, and as you all know from the Fusors episode, I find them hyper ridiculous.
Well, they are
super
ridiculous. They're meant to be.
But the front half of that beast mode is pure metal, right up into the point where you get the weedy bird legs, and then it's just like, why? What? Why? It's not necessary. Otherwise, rocking.
They've really played into the weedy bird legs on this. It's funny because even I knew exactly what this was going to be, but like I looked at it and the bird legs did throw me off a little bit because the original has the bird legs, of course it does, and you know that was in the cartoon as well. But they've really gone to town on making those bird legs quite pronounced on this one in terms of the proportions and everything. Whereas, I mean, I know you guys haven't got the original, but if you've seen pictures, I can send you a picture. Here you go. You can see that the bird legs are a little bit more. A little bit more in proportion, basically, with the front legs.
Why does it have the bird legs?
I get that
it's a Fusor. It's right. Like, surely it just needs the wings.
Yes, thank you. And then it would be incredibly well proportioned and look hyper badass.
And everybody would look at it and go, oh, yeah, it's a cat and a bird mixed together, like you do here. But then the legs just seem like...
this is cat, bird, chicken. And I know chickens are birds, but it's cat, bird, chicken is what it is.
To be fair, in terms of the legacy design, they've taken it from the show and whatever else, and they've done what they need to do with it. So
I do like, you know, when you see it from the back and you see the green, all of a sudden, all I see is six shot colours because it's all the purple.
Good shout.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's about the only positive thing you could say from the photo at that angle. It's so funny.
But you know what I'm wondering? It's, you know, because it's a cat and a bird, it's like, the way it's squatting, it's like, it might be doing its business, but what does it do it? Like a cat or a bird? What is the angle here?
It's quite a strange photo. Yeah. I don't know why they've chosen to do a photo.
And he laid an egg instead.
Yeah,
is it an egg? Is it a poo? You never know.
It is a weird photo. I don't know what they're going for with that one, what they're trying to show you. It's an odd one.
It's very entertaining as a toy. It's doing the job.
Yeah. It is. There's a lot that I really like about it, I'm going to tell you. And I think that it's different enough to the original as well, because there are sometimes...
Super different.
I like the robot mode from the front. I think the robot mode from the front looks quite cool.
It does.
The bird claws there, draped over the shoulders, is quite a cool
It's
look.
Very That's cool.
Excellent, yeah. I love the beast's face. Feet as well look great. The head sculpt's amazing. The forearms are great, you know, nicely coloured. He looks really good in robot mode.
I think so.
Can I ask? You know the guns he has got?
Yeah.
And they're on this toy, they're hollowed out on one side. And that's a massive bugbear of mine with Transformers toys for years.
Same.
Is it like that on the original?
No, well, the guns are a little bit different on the original because the guns
missile launchers, aren't
they're
they?
Launchers, yeah.
And they flip out as well, so they secure away in his wings. The wings are super cool on the original because they've got kind of a lot of like sort of spring loaded detail in that. So the wings, first of all, you can manipulate and they kind of pop out and stuff like that. But also the guns flip out and then the missiles fire. So there's quite a lot going on. And you can remove the guns on the original, but they're not really so sort of meant as like handheld things. Whereas here, obviously, you can detach them and put them in his hands and things like that. Whereas he's actually got like a little molded gun in his hand on the original as well. So there's, you know what? There's tons that I love about the original. It's a great mold. It's got its quirks. I think, was it Pior that...
picked this as his favorite head sculpt. That's correct.
Yeah. I always remember that. We're going with PR as the pronunciation, aren't we?
That's what he calls himself.
Right. There we go. Not Pew.
No.
That's, I think, how I've described him for years.
Yeah. What, Pew?
Yeah, Pew.
Yeah, Pew.
Not you.
Is that not something that you get in a church?
What, a Pew?
Yeah.
It does a little bit.
A church few.
That's church of, yeah, may, might well be, yeah, indeed.
Yeah, I like the robot mode. I think the robot mode's cool. It's sort of cool. I think it's the colours more than anything, though. It's just that purple.
Well, I was going to say, the colours to me do a lot versus the original, which was blue, but it was kind of purple in the show. And I feel like they've really captured the show look. And it gives this a lot of reason to exist versus the original, in my opinion.
They called him Murderhawk. He just looks mad.
But he's not murdery.
He looks murdery. He's got a freaking tiger head for a shoulder and claws.
Yeah, he's also not a hawk. He's a catbird.
He's called Tiger Hawk.
Murder cat bird chicken.
He might look imposing, but he's actually like a bit of a gentle soul. He's like a nice dude.
Did you crochet and plays really, bridge?
Wasn't really alive for long enough, spoilers, but you know, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. And the most powerful Beast Wars character.
Oh, see, I remember watching all of the show and I only remember him being briefly. Was he in it?
Yeah, he's in like three episodes. He's not in a lot at all. Yeah, I won't say anything. Spoilers for a 30-year-old cartoon, 25-year-old cartoon, whatever it is. But yeah, this looks great. I'm well into it. And I think Legacy, for me, honestly, is really kicking ass at the moment with this stuff. I think they're doing a great job at bringing all these different eras to life and things like that. And there's a Legacy rescue bot now. So that's the thing. Pretty exciting. So I'm definitely going to get Tiger Hawk and check it out. Otherwise, if you're interested and want to check it out, you can go to tfsource.com and plenty of robots on there. So check them out for all your Transformers and third-party needs.
We now return to the Transformers.
Okay, so we're back for the second half now. We're moving into more modern territory. Kind of, anyway. Mine's not modern, really. But, mid-era, let's put it that way. So is it me to go?
Yeah.
Okay, I feel like I'm going to sort of set the tone now with the era that I've gone for. It's an animated toy.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to. And it's this wonderful fella.
Oh, it's
animated Shockwave.
Nice.
That's not hidden.
Well, I knew you were going to say something. Is it a hidden gem or not? I don't know. I thought you might quibble the hidden nature of the gem in this case. But I don't know. I feel like it's warranted because I feel like when people talk about amazing animated toys, this one doesn't come up on that list very often.
Yes, it does.
Does it though?
Yeah, it does.
Really?
Yeah, it really does. Because it's great.
Why do I not see that happen then?
It's such a good toy, isn't it?
It's really good.
That's what matters though. Ultimately, that is what matters.
Exactly. That's the thing. But like I often see, so like for example, you know, I've fairly recently got into animated and picked up a fair bit of it, but people have been all over it to be like, this toy's great, this toy's great, this toy's great. And I was always interested in Shockwave. Like, it just was one of the molds immediately that I was like, I need to own this thing. But no one ever really kind of recommended it to me or was like, so maybe that's it. And because I've not really paid much attention to a lot of the discourse about animated toys over the years, just the cartoon. So maybe it's just the fact that it's sort of not been recommended to me as strongly as some other stuff.
When I was collecting animated, my plan was to just get it all. I didn't even need to listen to individuals. Should I get this? I'm having it all.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was so glad to get to Shockwave. And of course, I had to have the purple one as well. And I love the grey one because it's Long Arm from the show originally, which looks... It is a Long Arm, isn't it?
It is Long Arm, yeah.
And that the fact that he has two robot modes is just really cool as well. It's a very interesting Transformer that there's more to it than just the this mode and that mode. Yes, exactly. The meets his one eye. The meets his one singular
the
eye.
The meets his more to... The meets the one eye, yeah.
Yeah. So it is just... It's just got a bit more intrigue about it because of the way he's presented on the show, because of what the character represents.
100%.
Because of who it ends up being, which of course you knew. But it is so good. And
I've seen all the cartoon. I've seen all the cartoon. That needs a rewatch. I really want to sit down and rewatch animated at some point. I'd go through it a
third time, yeah. I really would.
Yeah, 100%. I haven't seen it in a good couple of years now. I'm trying to think when the last time I saw it, actually. But it's a while.
For me, it'd been about 10 years ago.
Really? Yeah, I think so. Same here.
I loved it. I thought it was a fantastic cartoon. It's brilliant. Better and better as it goes.
Yeah. Every clip I see of it now is just like gold, honestly. It's like I sit and I watch like little clips if ever I see them or whatever, and I just think, man, this was a great era for Transformers. It just did so many things well and so many wonderful homages, Wurzel homages, all of that. Just brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. But yeah, this toy was one that I knew I was going to enjoy. And I love the purple version as well. So it's the grey version particularly that I'm talking about tonight, I guess. I love the purple one as well. The joints on my purple copy, which was also new out of the box, are not quite as good as the grey one. So I suppose the grey one inches it for me, just in terms of it feels a little bit more solid. But actually, I have to tell you, the purple one, the colour is just gorgeous. Yeah,
it's stunning. Yeah.
Really something. Both of these were a birthday present from you lovely chaps. Hooray. Which I'm super grateful for, let me tell you. Really, really happy with them both. And yeah, just the fact that it's four modes and not like I was kind of expecting some of the modes to be a bit pants, but they're not, are they?
No, they're all fantastic modes. And it's incredible to me that with this toy, like you think back to that time and you're like, you saw it and you're like, oh, it's like a Shockwave in a time, in an era where you hadn't seen Shockwave again. Like you'd never got, like now we see G1 style Shockwave toys all the time. And at this point, you're like, this is the closest we'd been since like G1 or whichever one it was, Shock Blast, I suppose.
It's a really good point. Yeah, Shock Blast. But that's a really good point. And I know we do this all the time. And I feel like every time we have these discussions, we make this point, but it's still warranted and still worth making, which is that in the context of when this was released, it was a big deal. Yeah. I remember it being super exciting. You know, being a fan of the cartoon as I was at the time, thinking, wow, that toy looks amazing. So I'm just sort of happy to finally fulfill getting it at long last. But yeah, I think all four modes are great. There's little things about it that I love. I love the head sculpt. I love the way the head sculpt becomes both heads.
Yes.
You know, and that his little single one eye is there on the long arm head sculpt as well. Super clever. Adore the transformation between the two robot modes. I find it very repeatable and very creative considering how little happens, but actually how much happens as well.
Like those shoulder red bar things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Stuff like that they actually probably didn't need to put in there, but the fact that they did. But it's the fact, it's also that the whole proportion of the thing changes and the way that the hips move to kind of give it a different silhouette and stuff like that, and the way that the arms move down. And it's super clever. Really love it. Also, adore his claws in his main Shockwave mode.
Yeah, that's a really nice touch.
Yeah, just the fact that you've got like an opposable thumb, the two claws and the little thumb are all articulated so that there's plenty of posability there, I think is super cool. The tank mode is amazing. Yeah, very few compromises on it, but also great the way that the tank kind of comes off and becomes his main weapon as well.
So RID 2015, isn't it?
It really is. Mode. Yeah. And the fact that you can kind of flip over the barrel of the tank and then there's just a little winch thing in there like a little crane thing. Amazing.
It's ambitious.
Super ambitious, but it pulls it off.
It's got that mad future tank look as well, hasn't it? You know, the sort of metal slug style thing. But it's funny because I like the robot mode in purple, but I prefer the vehicle mode in this grey. There's just something about
That's a good shout.
Yeah.
It's really cool. But like you say, like the way the robot modes change is, oh man, it's so interesting, like the way it does it. And yeah, fantastic toy. Great toy.
Yeah.
The cannon itself is really, really cool too.
It is, yeah, yeah. Really, really good.
But like you think of like double agent Transformers we had before, like Counterpunch and stuff like that, and the toys where they don't change that much. And then you look at this and it's like the amount of transformation involved to get something different is.
Yeah, I really agree with that. And it does it in such a unique way. And it does it in a way that's very different to like Punch Counterpunch, because Punch Counterpunch goes out of its way to look entirely different, you know, and, yeah. It kind of almost flips round. It's like the other side of the toy almost to kind of look that way. Whereas this is more, this has everything that would give you a tell that it's a double agent right there, that you can see it, but it changes things in such a clever way that actually you may not notice it initially.
It's got that thing like you would see in like maybe like a Disney cartoon where you would see a silhouette of a character morphing from a human into like a more evil thing, you know, like changed. It's got, that's how he sort of evolves from that,
really is like
from
that.
Long arm or whatever into Shockwave, and you see it into a more monstrous form and people would recoil at that. Like you'd see it as a shadow, wouldn't you, on the back of a wall or something.
Yeah, it really is like that. It's like I mean, it's not the same exactly, but it's like Christopher Reeve going from his Clark Kent to his Superman persona, you know, just seeing how different they are. It just does it's a subtle thing in its way, but it makes such an impact. Incredible.
It's like a horror movie sort of Black Cauldron style shadow.
I can really see that.
Cool look, man. It's just a cool thing. Cool idea. Yeah.
Really cool idea. And it's a toy that, honestly, I just think captures the animation so superbly well. It's a very memorable character anyway.
Yeah.
And
Thank you, Corey Burton.
Yeah. Which is incredible by itself, isn't it? Yeah. To think that it was him to do that. And
that's animated in a nutshell, though. Yeah. Lance Hendrickson as Lockdown.
Judd Nelson.
Oh. Yeah.
Back as Hot Rod, you know?
Yeah. Definitely this time.
Yeah. true. Yeah. So and he's a big thing as well. I mean, I don't know, I'm looking at him now. He's at least, I don't know, 4.5, maybe 5 Warpaths.
Isn't he like quite close to Megatron in height, actually?
Yeah. Yeah. Looking at him. Hang on. I mean, it's not far off, certainly. Yeah. You could probably get about another half Warpath on there before you're at Megatron height.
He's effectively a Voyager class toy, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. That's, but he's super
that
lanky.
Value for Voyager class is great.
Super lanky. And the light piping. Man. I can't show you now because the light is in front of me. But, I mean, you've seen it anyway. But the single eye light piping, it's some of the best ever.
Yeah.
So that's my choice.
Big fan.
Yeah, tremendous choice. Absolutely brilliant choice.
So, my choice basically comes in the same box as that toy.
No!
I'm going for Activators.
Is it the
bee? Yeah, I'm going for Animated Activators Bumblebee.
What's going on?
This, I had this in mind for the first Hidden Gems. I just haven't gotten around to it. I
nearly picked this.
Oh, I'm so glad you didn't. I have nothing else. Activators Bumblebee is, first of all, the best animated Bumblebee there is. Secondly, it is the best spring-loaded transformation on a toy ever. It's just the best version of this concept for all the right reasons. First of all, it's show accurate. It's scale accurate. It is extremely fun and very, very well executed. It's a beautiful little car mode.
Yes.
And you press the siren light on top and he flips his arms out into T mode and it's almost all done. Heads out and you just have to unfold the feet, which is an extremely satisfying step. I don't know why that's so satisfying, but it is. And then you just fold the arms down and they're quite panel-y. And yet it's just so much better in an animated display than the deluxe animated is. And I like it even more than the Japanese Takara Bumblebee that's remolded and smaller, which I think is the second best Bumblebee, and like the Hasbro and the deluxe class is the third best. The Activators Bumblebee is one of the best Transformers in the history of Transformers. I still have it.
Wow.
Got rid of virtually all of animated. I kept that. I kept Deluxe Bumblebee. I kept Activators Ratchet. And I kept Deluxe Ratchet. because Activator's Ratchet is almost as good.
These are quite big claims yeah. being made here.
They're so brilliant. Like, I could not live without it. I had the police version of it, I had the Battlefield version of it, and I had knockoffs, which were slightly bigger, so they scaled even better with my animated collection. I had a string of this mold in lots of different versions, like knockoffs in different colors, more simple, a little more complex.
Well, there oversized knockoffs and
there's
things
an oversized
like that.
Knockoff. The knockoff market for animated is insane. Like, there's so many bootlegs of Activators. Yeah, I think I had a Sunstorm at one point. It was really funny.
Really?
Like,
wow. Sunstorm.
The Activators line as a whole is massively underdocumented as a fantastic success for Transformers. They're really fun, good looking toys that you can quite easily give to a child or enjoy yourself as an adult collector. And Bumblebee is a great example. It's so enjoyable to transform. And this one has been in my collection for absolutely years. My daughter played with it when she was tiny, and now my son's playing with it when he's tiny. I didn't have it when I was tiny. So that's just a shame. It just means my childhood isn't as good as theirs. Wow. But that thing has lasted as well. Paint's coming off big time. But it's lasted, and the mechanism still works. It's the springs still hold. It's still super satisfying to play with, and just the force at which it flips out into robot mode is excellent.
Yeah, I have the Activated Grimlock still, and that mechanism will never die. It just blows almost, doesn't it?
Grimlock's a good one. I forgot about how good the Grimlock, and the sound wave's fantastic as well.
Have you got any of the repaints then, Matt? As you mentioned, you got knockoffs and stuff. Have you got like the police patrol one?
I had the patrol one. I had the Battlefield Bumblebee. That was probably the hardest to find because it was in the very last wave of Activators, and that one and the associated Prime are quite difficult to find.
Right.
But I did have them all, yeah. But the original Bumblebee one is the best.
It's the only one I have because it came with the Shockwave, of course, and I love it. I remember when you guys got me this set for my birthday, and you were like, "This is the best Bumblebee."
Yeah, it really is.
I must admit, I was kind of like, "Okay, how good can this be?" One click on the little light, and I was like, "Sold."
Yep,
that's it. That's amazing.
Tactile perfection. I need.
Yeah, exactly that. Just instant conversion on it.
It's funny how now we talk about RoboSen as this amazing thing of, you know, auto-transforming robots and stuff. But if you go back to animated Activators, it'll be like, you just press a button and it flipped over on its own.
I mean, the Ratchet, if you can keep the Ratchet's mechanism working, which is a bit of a trick, you just hold it in ambulance mode facing away from you and you press the back of the ambulance and it's 99% robot. It's incredibly nice. It's so satisfying. It's like the... I don't know even what to equate it to today, but it's the Activators line was magic. Still is. Mm.
It's funny, you know, because there's been obviously a few bits come up recently about auto transforming, like one steps, simple transformations, all of this, you know, because a lot of the Rise of the Beast toys have got this kind of nature to them, you know, one steps or like smash changes, things like this. And that there was articles written about it going, oh, kids these days, you know, like from just idiots basically. And it's funny to me because these toys have always been part of Transformers, you know, since the jump starters, since the battle chargers, it's always been there. So there's this sort of myth that kids these days don't want to work for it and whatever when it comes to these sorts of toys. But it's nonsense. And they've always been a delight, one steps and things like that when they're done well.
Right. Why is RoboSen cool? Because it bloody transforms by itself.
Yeah.
The fact that you can skip a lot of the labor intensive part and go from robot to vehicle or vehicle to robot in the blink of an eye makes it the cartoon.
Yeah.
And it makes the transformation fun in a completely different way.
Yes.
So it's fun because it's a feature. It's like...
Exactly.
We refer to things as gimmicks, and that's almost like a negative thing. But here, the gimmick is you press it, and this mechanism, that's the fun. That's part of the play, not having to convert it yourself. It's just a different kind of way to play the toy, isn't it?
Not to mention, I would guarantee you that the engineering... And the sort of the thought that goes into a toy like this is going to be more than on something the same size that you just transform yourself.
Yeah, the tolerances that have to work on 100%. What does the spring do and how well does it hold. Let's also not gloss over the part that it has a superb head sculpt really show accurate.
I love
that it doesn't have the mouth. It doesn't have the little smirk that the Deluxe does. I love that it doesn't have that. And also, it's really poseable.
Yeah.
It's this really poseable, articulated little toy.
Yeah. His arms are weird.
Yeah.
That's the one concession I would make, is that the arms are weird. But actually, it doesn't I think the first time I did it and I saw the arms, I was like, huh, okay. And then it's never really bothered me since. No. It's just one of those.
Because it adds to how cool it is when you compact it back into car mode.
True. Yeah, if it was more fiddly, you would be sacrificing on the gimmick a little bit and it wouldn't make it worth it.
Yeah. So it's got great transformation, highly addictive to mess with, great car mode, great robot mode, posability, paint, show accuracy, scale accuracy, and lastability. It's just really, I can't believe how much value we were getting for the shelf price of that toy.
Oh, man. Like, so I remember seeing those on the shelf at the time and the price on them, and you didn't bat an eyelid. They seemed like cheaper versions of the other toys. And now you look at it and you go, what you got for that money? It's absurd.
100%.
Now they feel like luxury items. They've gone from being the cheap items to feeling like they were luxury items at the time.
It's mad to see something this size and you know, for what it is, the price point it is, what it represents, and the amount of paint on it. Like, what, as you said, Maz, what's that about? How does it
sirens
have that
painted,
much paint?
Windshields painted, hoods painted, wheels are painted, what's faces going on? Painted. It's amazing.
It's really something, isn't it? So
I've got to stress, there are very few more satisfying experiences in this hobby than pressing that siren on Activator's Bumblebee and having it flip out. It is legendary.
There you go.
Everyone
should
experience
it. You know how to make Maz happy? Just press his button.
That's it.
Good choice, man. Good choice. I can't believe we picked two figures from the same two pack.
Yeah, this is not two bad toys in a box. This is the opposite.
Right. Exactly. People are going to be getting on eBay now looking for that two-pack of toys, aren't they?
So they should. Well, that two-pack is not an easy one to find because Purple Shockwave is already tricky, but it's just the fact that the little extra that comes in it is arguably better because it's so good. Great two-pack of toys.
Liam, you got some topping to do, mate.
Oh, well, for me, it's going to be a lot harder because it's not those, but it's actually a toy that you mentioned earlier. And I kind of kept it secret in that it was the T-30 Scoop.
Yes!
Masterpiece Scoop!
I had to like bite my tongue as you say it. I was like, oh, what toy is that? So
what's going on tonight?
Well, after picking up Quick Mix, I was like, oh, actually, you know what would go well with him? Would it be Scoop? Because, again, this is a toy that shelf-warmed at the time, so I think people have mostly just kind of forgot about it and moved on. And as generations has changed and all this stuff, it's almost just like become a forgotten toy of a different time. But it's great.
I've heard so many good things about that toy. I think it's because the people I hang around with, that you guys hang around with too, a few of those guys got it. Like both Dan and James got that toy and both raved about it. So in my head, it was just like, oh, everyone must think this is brilliant. I just wish I'd experienced it.
This really sums up that sort of vibe of a posable version of the G1 toy. It's what it looks like. It's just got that before we got that all the time.
Yes.
The T-30 is quite a long time ago now, isn't it?
That's something I'd love to do an episode on. Thrilling 30 at some point.
I've owned all of them, so we could definitely do that. But again, he comes with both his little Target Masters. Was it Tracer? What's the other guy called?
Oh, they've got such... I always get them mixed up because there's... Tracer. Flintlock and Silencer is Landfill's one. Boomer and...
Steve.
Ricochet.
Heater and Zigzag are on the Decepticon side.
Yeah.
Zigzag. There's a transformer called Zigzag. Anyway, Karen.
So one of them was Tracer. I remember that. Oh, Hole Punch and Tracer.
That's
it.
Hole Punch.
For trademark purposes, I think Tracer was renamed to Caliburst for this guy.
No.
You just know, don't you? Whoever named them at that point was really like this. Again, 4:30 p.m. on a Friday, looking around the office going, what can we call it? Hole Punch!
Stapler.
Exactly.
Tracer and Hole Punch. Close the drawer.
But like for the time, it was such a real random one, because if you go back to that era and generations, like,
sorry, I just thought that the fourth one should have had rubber and ruler as his fucking masks.
So true.
Oh my gosh, pencil sharpener and Pritt stick.
Paperclip.
Oh, Tipex. But yeah, for the time, it was just such a almost an eye-opening toy, because you didn't get them like this. Like, you were getting Drift, who was...
That's true.
Not based on, you know, the original. It was a new thing, obviously. And then you had a More Than Meets the Eye Brainstorm, the Jetfire, which was like a cartoon Jetfire robot. But
Soundstorm and Springer.
Yeah, all the random things. And then you just suddenly got this, which just felt very much like the original. But he also then appeared in the comics as a result.
I remember him in the comics. It was Robots in Disguise, wasn't it?
That and it's purely because of this toy, because they all came with comics as well.
So
he comes with both of those two little Target Masters, and they actually add a step. They're still different molds, but they add a little step in that the arms fold backwards onto the top.
Oh!
But they're both very unique molds. And they're also covered in paint, like the originals. So, like, I'll show you. So you basically flip the head down, flip the arms out.
Oh my goodness, that's really cool.
That's great.
That's super neat.
But even the peg, there's like a peg in between. I don't know if you can see it. It looks very inappropriately placed.
That's
but it...
very visible. That's hyper visible, yeah.
But even that, you sort of rotate it out the way, so it's not any less visible, just different.
Just different.
The peg is on the
very
back.
Very true life.
It sounds like, you know, that phrase of football, they said, you can't trap a bag of cement. It kind of looks like he's trying to trap a bag of cement.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
This is an era where I feel like this was kind of the very end of the giving it everything before the cost cutting really kicked in. This is the real tail end of giving it everything.
And it's weird because this is where generations really changes for this whole era. But you are right. Like, even this toy, you can feel it. Like, when I pick it up now, it feels... There's a lot of similarities with like the Combiner Warsy stuff in that it's more intricate, but there's hollow parts all over it. You know what I mean? Like the back of the leg.
So maybe it's the start of that era then, instead of the end of the previous one. Because I'm thinking of like even Generation Sandstorm had hollow bits,
yeah,
you know, like the inside of the thighs and stuff, inside of the knees.
But then it has that. Oh, I don't know how you describe it. The sort of ball jointy feel. You know that it's very prevalent on Generations now, where everything. I know ball joints have been around forever, but they all feel, when you pick them up, it's like everything's moving in your hand very, very fast. But it's cool. The green repaint is one I've always wanted to pick up.
Is there a green repaint?
Yeah, Transformers Adventure.
Yeah.
Part of the Japanese RID 2015 line.
Yeah, which was then imported into the comics, into IDW, where they painted Scoop green and killed off Scrapper. And so he became part of Devastator
That's
for a bit.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. So that.
It was like this storyline for a while. I don't know if you remember. And it was like Scrapper was trying to take over his mind almost. Every time he was merging with Devastator, he was becoming a little bit more.
He was merging with Prowl as well, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like More Than Meets the Eye was one thing. 6-0 and RID
was a total other thing.
But these toys really put me in a nostalgic frame of mind for picking up those comics as they were coming out. Obviously, like 19 issues in for me, but. Then I started buying them regularly and these toys were hitting the market. It's a really sweet memory that time.
Yeah, and they were putting comics in with each of these toys as well, which was nice. Right. Not over here, only in America, but most of these came from there anyway. Yeah. But you got, just like IDW issues. They were all like the spotlights. I don't know if you remember like when they did.
Definitely. Orion Pax was one of them. Yeah. RC.
Trailbreaker or Trailcutter.
Trailcutter, Hoist, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a great toy. It's just really fun to pose. And it's one I think people forget. And it's almost like it's been left behind by current generations.
Well, it's almost before its time. Because how well would that fit into the current aesthetic and
it
concept?
It feels like a toy from now.
Yeah.
Except for the sheer volume of paint on the little Target Masters.
It really does actually look like if they drop this today, now, like the next fan stream or whatever. And just
they don't need to do it. That's the point. They don't need to do a legacy
but
scoop.
People think that they do. That's the thing. Like, I think this is a whole other conversation, but I do think we've kind of almost got into this era now of anything that from more than 3 or 4 years ago, people are like, we need a new toy of that.
Oh, yeah. Titans Return is already old hat as 100%. Far as someone got done in Titans Return. Yep. It's like, no.
Yeah.
100%. I saw it. There was some conversation the other day about a toy that was out in Siege, and people were like, well, we should get a new one. And it's like,
hopefully, it wasn't Sideswipe.
Yeah. Well, no, I can't remember what. Yeah. God, imagine. But it was like, you've just had the new one. That was the new one.
There was one someone I saw on Twitter said, I can't remember if it's one that's in the new wave or it's just coming out now. And so I said, oh, I hope we get a redo of that by the end of Legacy United. And you're like, that's like next year. What are you talking about?
Mad, isn't it? But I completely agree with you looking at this thing. I mean, I've not handled it, but it looks like a current legacy toy to me.
It feels like it. That's what I was saying about the ball joint is, but even the way the plastic is, it feels just like that kind of stuff, except for the wheels are pinned on. So,
how do you like the vehicle mode? Do you think that does that justice?
Yes, I think it's all right, but you know, it's very simple. It's just fun to transform, and yeah, I quite like it.
I think it's a great scoop. Homage, Wurzel homage. Wurzel homage. And I mean, what a random thing though, right? Like of all the characters that they could have done. But that in a way, it feels more random in 2014 than it would do now. Like, if they dropped a new scoop now, you'd be like, yeah, cool, a new scoop.
It's so weird. Like, if you look back to those T30 toys, it's like Springer, RC, like Ultra Magnus was in there, wasn't he? Yeah, all of these Brainstorm. And then all of a sudden, you just get Scoop. But it felt like they were doing that at the time. They were covering certain areas because it was the first time we'd seen a Headmaster, I don't know, since that Omega Supreme, do you remember? From whichever.
Energon.
Yeah. But this was the first time we'd probably seen like a G1 style one with that Brainstorm. And it was like, then you got the Target Masters here, the double Target Masters.
I love how the blue one, it looks like a Pretender, the little blue Target Master.
Yeah. But I like the way the legs are split apart. You know, in the vintage ones have that more human shape. And that feels like it's carried over more to here.
Yeah, it really does. I like his sort of proportions and everything as well, the main guy, like the main bot. He looks very similar to the G1 toy, but kind of different as well, a little bit more heroic.
Yeah. I love how he looks like he's wearing a bat mask with the orange that goes around his eyes. That's super cool. It's just his superhero mask.
It really feels like the definition of a modern version of the vintage toy, you know, of the character, like a slightly updated but really faithful at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. He does have 2014 hands, I will say.
Molded open.
Yeah. Those are not modern hands.
There's a picture of him next to G1 Scoop, and man, he dates that vintage toy standing next to him. He really does.
Oh, it reminds me, I wanted to pick up the vintage one. I kept meaning to buy it from Christian at TFN and never got around to it. So
Toy Fair this weekend. Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
It's not a tough one to find. It's quite plentiful, actually. Weirdly plentiful.
Turn a penny, that thing, honestly. Yeah, you got me interested in old thrilling 30 Scoop now.
Well, you've got the Sandstorm, and
I do.
You rate that, and you should rightfully rate that and Springer as fabulous figures.
I feel like I'm going through a bit of a renaissance with these old Chug toys.
I'd love to experience them again too. I really would. I've got so many good memories of that period of time when we first started meeting up with the guys in the pub, and we were going to, what was it? I can't remember what it was called, but it was on St. Martin's Lane. It was a really nice pub there we were going to.
I
just remember people bringing these toys as they were buying them, and I remember discovering them during this period. Same kind of time I was discovering loads of animated toys as well, all thanks to Fancy Dan and his mates. So, yeah, really good memories of this this era for me.
Discovery is a good way of summing it up, because like so many of these were new, and the ideas were new that we were seeing stuff like this, like really like this for the first time.
Yeah, and it was so tied into the comics as well, and that was a nice thing.
Yeah. That's when they first started doing that, wasn't it? When they started tying it back in for the first time. But like, do you remember when they did the Jetfire and the first time you saw that? And it was like, oh my gosh, it is a Skyfire-style robot.
And that landed just at, I think it was Auto Assembly of that year, or maybe it was a TF Nation, I can't remember. I think it was 2015 or something. That landed at that show, and everyone had it at that show. And I remember it was a major.
Yeah. And the Morning ECI Skids, that was the other one.
Yes.
That's great, yeah.
Great
we'll
stuff.
Do an episode on that.
Yeah, another time. Lots of stuff we've said we'll do an episode on tonight, whether we will or not, I don't know. Will we even remember that we've said it? That's the thing.
And what part it is next time.
Right, exactly. Part 8. And I do love it because we're often like, oh yeah, we should do an episode on that. And then we come back and, nah, maybe not. Don't know.
Eventually.
Yeah, who's to say, man? We're not beholden to anyone, are we, other than ourselves? We do what we want.
Yeah, we stick it to the man on this podcast.
Exactly. Drop some truth bombs. Of sorts. I don't know what I'm saying. Let's wrap it up. Right, well, 6 wonderful toys, 3 old, 3 not modern but not old. I don't know, the idea of this was always like 1 vintage and 1 modern, wasn't it? But it's sort of become 1 G1 and then something else.
Well, I was having to look up the dates of when toys came out to like work out if they actually qualified as vintage.
Right.
What was that?
Yeah.
How long ago was 2010?
In theory, it should be something from the first 20 years of the franchise and something from the second 20 years of the franchise, I suppose. Maybe that's the way that we should sort of look at it.
That's our arbitrary border. That's where it exists.
Well, 20 years is vintage, you see. So it works out. It's fine. So anything currently from sort of Energon onwards, you're fine with. Basically, in the second half. But yeah, wonderful toys. Great suggestions, gentlemen.
Been a pleasure.
It has. It has indeed. Wonderful stuff. Right, well, that's going to do it for another episode on Hidden Gems 3, as it turns out. So, what can I say? If anything, I'm a little bit happy that I own most of the toys. I think all but one that we talked about tonight already. Mm. So that puts me in a good place. But maybe some of you are rushing to eBay right now, having listened to this. I don't know. That'll be up to you. But if you've still got a bit of cash left over, then we do have a Patreon. Which one is it?
It's Patreon, and that's completely the wrong way to think about it. You should be thinking about if you have any cash left over from Patreon, then you should go and maybe look at buying some toys. This is coming from someone who has now successfully completed a no purchase September. So
wow, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Congratulations, man.
But if you're also saving money on buying toys, then why not check out patreon.com/triple takeover, where you can pay us to provide you with absolutely tons more content. Get stuff early, listen to this a week earlier than anyone else, get mini-sodes that have been commissioned or that we decide to do based on our main episodes, like we've just done a mini-sode on Headmaster Horrorcons. There's not a living Transformers fan who doesn't need to hear that. And then, of course, we've got our GBC content, our Gold Box Classics top-tier content, which is hyper-focus on IDW More Than Meets the Eye. Every now and then we have the creator, James Robert, come on and talk about it too. We look at Unicron Trilogy toys. We did start off really strongly on Superlink, but we've done Micron Legend, we've done Galaxy Force, we've done even movie line Unicron Trilogy repaints, and of course Tapman, where we've looked at Batman, we've looked at Bionic 6, we've looked at Turtles, and there'll be loads more interesting stuff.
A good one of those coming up soon.
Wheeled Warriors, I hope.
Not that one yet, but okay. Something else.
But it's all fantastic stuff, and we have our Discord server, which is where you can just hang out, and I do find that people who come to our Discord server, they just stay there, and they find themselves, I think, migrating away from other platforms, because we have such a great vibe on there, and we're on there all the time as well. Totally worth checking out. That is patreon.com/triple takeover. And of course, another perk of our Patreon is that you get a call out on the show if you're a Sixos butler or a GBC. So huge thanks to Nick, Danny Roberts, Andy Preston, Chris Spiderfather, Adam Shoemaker, Matt, Bad Saturday, Justin Massaro, Dave Dalrymple, Geo Kaiser, Yusuf, John Pearl, Choice of Anthony Cars, Captain R.A. Field G, Roadstorm, Laserbeak, Puma the Hunter, Peter Hamson, Shenry, Chris Norris, Jesse Moreno, Nexus, Harris Swoboda, Billy Gator, Andy Gold, Cold Squall, Simon Elvin, Joshels, Cracktastic Plastic, Dan Bastetta, Jeffrey Freak, Inbound Lee, John Wood, Kyla Wilmer, Tim Banerjee, Ben Lewis, Shinsei, Lucas Henkel, Mollus Koenig, Malcolm Hobbs, CNC Rick 56, Mythic Gear, Zach Lawson, Jason Murray, David Shepard, Esteem, Quick Mixed, Josh Bell, Ash Bolt, Zindios, Christian Hyatt, Mark Alley, Graham Moffat, Connor C, Burke Perotta, Eric White, Bobby P, Mike Loacono, Niar Bat, Tyler Husky, Chris Rodwell, Steve Redman, Jim Kinsey, Shaunty Siegel, Ghost Prime, James Pascoe, Jiggle, MK Tronic, Holdeth Walter, Charlie Chappelle, June Marigold, Jonathan False Logic Howard, Lexus Taylor, Windows 6K, Tyler Dickerson, Jeremy Woodall, Ross, Jetfire James, Doglunch UK, Michael Cagle, Dugatron, Squid Catfish, Ali Nunes, Robert R, Heinrad 80, Calidus, Michael Brandt, Cam Lee, Miguel Gonzalez, Spider Bob, James Hooks, Brandon Mahaffey, Collecticon, Chup Goldbolt, Alec Trevelyan 2022, Riley Lentz, Emperor Galvatron, Matthew Deadman, Spencer Butler, Alan Johnson, Anthony Baker, Adam Brady, James Turnham, Simon, The Transformer Closet, EMH Richard, Robin Hunt, RHA, Logan, Jetfire Prime 760, James Clark, Frank Colosimo, Valkisas, Atlas, Dave Beckett, Jeremy Canseco, Ben Erickson, Tony Hayward, Evil Plop Disease, Juan Carpintero, Clark Clint Gaming, Michael Gaxiola, Freedom is the Right, DJ Convoy, Harrison Barber, John Cole Dalton, Star Saber Van 37, Kaz H, Private Random, Rob Franklin, Protein, Digbysaurus, Anthony Fortunato, Menestrika, Darge, Stevie P, Jim Owen, 360 Verse, Traffic Cone, and John R. and the Mapes Brothers, who you might recognize.
What a list.
Welcome, Traffic Cone.
Well, he's an upgrade. So yeah. Traffic Cone's been with us for a while on Discord as an inner beast, but he's upgraded now to Sixos Butler.
Yeah, join the shout-out crew.
Fantastic.
Yeah, wonderful. We also have a sponsor for the evening, which, as you may know, is tfsource.com. Do check them out for your Transformers and third-party needs.
And we do have a Redbubble. We did have one quick message, nothing long.
Oh, God.
But it's just someone from those international waters, older Tim from Timbuktu. He wrote in and just said, guys, just wanted to let you know, even out here in this far reach of the world, I was able to buy a t-shirt from your Redbubble store. I was like, wow. That's cool. Thanks, Tim. And so you too can be like Tim and head over to redbubble.com/people/triple takeover/explore to buy whatever you want.
Just going to pretend that didn't happen. None of that was said and it didn't happen.
I'm not actually sure. Do they ship to Mali? I don't even know. I'm like...
Where's Mali? I said Timbuktu.
Yeah, that's in Mali.
I knew that. It's definitely... Cheers, Tim.
What do you mean croissants aren't bread?
and if you want to let us know what you think Transformers hidden gem is, you know, or if you have any thoughts on the ones we've mentioned today, then you can contact us on Twitter. What's it called now? X. Or
no,
Are we not calling it that? We're going to still call it Twitter.
Yeah,
I still call it Twitter.
We're a retro theme podcast.
I can't ever imagine a situation where I would out loud say, "Oh, on X, I saw it on X." No.
Well, in that case, you can X us on Twitter.
Yeah, right.
At @triple_takeover, and that is the same for Instagram. And if you want to find us on Facebook, it's @triple_takeover, all one word. 6-0, where could they find you?
Oh, everywhere. Where can they not find me? Get a social platform where you can't find me. That's the thing. No, I'm on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Patreon, Threads, Blue Sky, Mastodon.
I'm going to stop being funny. I'm sorry. Yeah,
well,
it's not
I still don't know how you say it. I don't know.
Mastodon.
What's the difference? This is, do you know, my wife has a thing about the way I say new. I've got to say it properly now. Like, make sure I say it properly. Nuclear.
Mm.
Is nuclear, isn't it?
Yeah, nuclear.
Yeah, I think I say nuclear.
Mm. What? At least you don't say nuclear.
No, I think maybe that's what I say. Whichever way I say it, every time she chuckles.
See, I say nuclear. Is that right?
Yeah, sounds right to me. Oh. Nuclear.
6-0, can I just ask, is it scone or scone?
And is it a bread?
Is it made of all
definitely
butter?
A bit bready. They're definitely, yeah, there's some, yeah. Scone, I think, no? Oof. Scone in 60 seconds. I don't know. Scones.
Scone in 60 seconds. The new Nick Cage film. Yeah. Stealing scones.
I don't know now.
Yeah, today's scone, tomorrow. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Scone with the wind. I don't know. I'm genuinely not sure. Scone.
You don't scone. Know what you've got till it's scone.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I say scone. I assume. Do you I say think scone? That's the,
I don't really have. I'm not wedded to one or the other, I think, is the thing. But yeah. Bath or bath?
Bath.
Bath. 100% it's bath.
It's bath.
It's bath.
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 Garage or garage?
Both.
I talk really common, so I say everything the most common way possible.
It's garage.
Garage. No, definitely garage.
Yeah.
Who says garage? That's American, isn't it?
I don't know. Is it American?
Like aluminum.
I've even heard garage.
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 Garage?
Well, that tends to be how people describe the music.
Yeah. What, garage? Garage.
Ass and garage. Can we wrap this up, please?
Yeah, anyway. So, Maz, what about you? Where are you on social media?
TF Square One on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Blue Sky.
TF Square Scone.
I do like scones.
Yeah.
I do like scones.
Set up an alternative little handle for baked goods.
Is it Square One or Square One?
Good night, everyone.
Well, you can find me at Toybox Hurtbox anyway, doesn't
but
it?
But why would you want to?
I was going to say, if you want to, for Tim from Timbuktu, mate.
Tim, well, it was Tim from Dim, but Timbuktu yeah, Tim is what he actually said.
Tim Nice But Dim.
Tim yeah. Nice But Dim from Timbuktu.
Yeah, thank you for writing in, Tim. I bet you're happy now, aren't you?
Good Lord. Well, that'll do it for Hidden Gems. Maybe this whole episode is the hidden gem that we found along the way or whatever. I don't know. What else can I say? But join us for the next one.
Which may or may not be part four.
It's part four.
You're part four.
I am part four.
Not parkour.
Parkour.
Or part four, the course.
What?
Thank you.